Hi, this is Joe Tamburino at Tamburino Talks Law, and today we're going to continue to talk about the Chauvin trial, specifically jury selection, and even more specific, a Batson, that's Batson challenge. What is it? Where does it come from? What does it mean? And how is it implemented in this case and in basically all criminal jury trials? First, let me give you a little bit of history. With any criminal jury trial, as we've discussed before, both sides, the defense and the state, has what's called peremptory challenges. And that means that the defense and the state can remove a potential juror from the jury pool for any reason except bad reasons. What are the bad reasons? They can't remove someone on the basis of their race, religion, sex, or ethnicity. You can remove people who are Black or white or Asian or Native American. That's not an issue. The issue is if you do it solely on the basis that they are Black, white, Asian, Native American. And I'm just giving that as an example. And this rule of law comes from the U.S. Supreme Court case Batson versus Kentucky in 1986. And since that time, it has been illegal for a prosecutor and a defense attorney to strike a potential juror on the basis of race, sex, religion, or ethnicity. Now, how does this come to play in the Chauvin case? Well, the defense in this case has struck a number of people of color, and the state has made, I believe, 4 Batson challenges. The judge has overruled all of those challenges. The judge has clearly made the findings, and correctly so, that there's no pattern of discrimination with the defense attorney's use of peremptory challenges. In fact, the defense attorney accepted a number of people of color because at this point in the game, out of the 14 jurors that we have thus far, 6 are people of color and 4 are Black. So the judge found that there's absolutely no basis to make the argument or finding that the defense is using its peremptory challenges in violation of Batson. But in order to further highlight how Batson is in practice, I want to look at 2 potential jurors that were struck from the jury pool. First is potential juror number 76, who is a young Black male. He was questioned on March 17th. In that questioning, the defense attorney, and remember, the defense goes first before the prosecutor, asked him a number of questions. And juror number 76 said things such as that he has mixed emotions, doesn't know that he wants to be part of this trial. He said, as a Black man, you see Black men getting killed a lot by the police and no one's held accountable. He said things like another Black man getting murdered in police hands. He mentioned Trayvon Martin. He said he experiences racism every day. And he says that he knows the area of town where Mr. Floyd was killed and says that the police in that neighborhood antagonize young Black men. And I believe his exact quote is, they drive around and another one bites the dust. And said that the justice system discriminates against people of color. But juror number 76 also said that he could still be fair. So the defense made a motion to the judge to have juror number 76 removed for cause, meaning that he couldn't be fair and impartial. The state objected, and the judge found that no, there's not a reason for cause, because in the end, the potential juror said he still could be fair. So the defense used one of its peremptory strikes and removed juror number 76. The state did not issue or make a Batson challenge. So was this a proper use of a peremptory strike? That's the question. And the answer is yes. The defense had a number of reasons, race neutral reasons, which is what is required to defend against a Batson challenge, to show that this juror would not be a good juror for the defense in the case. Then let's go to the next example. That was on March 22nd, potential juror number 116. This was probably around a 30, 35-year-old white male from the suburbs. He was an avid fisherman, hunter, bow hunter, rifle hunter, spent a lot of time outdoors, married with a couple of kids, had very favorable positions toward law enforcement, had not so favorable positions toward Black Lives Matter, did not have favorable positions toward protesters and or rioters. And in the end, he said he could be fair to both sides. But the prosecutor struck him. There was no challenge by the defense on this. Now, one could argue that the prosecutor violated Batson because he struck a white guy. However, the prosecutor had good reasons to strike this potential juror. This potential juror said that he did not have favorable opinions over the protests and Black Lives Matter and had very favorable positions toward the police. So the prosecutor had a race-neutral reason to discharge and use a peremptory strike against juror number 116. Additionally, the prosecutor in this case, almost all of his strikes have been against white people. So the defense could have argued, well, look, Judge, the prosecutor is striking all of the white potential jurors in this case. At least I, the defense attorney, am accepting many people of color. However, in the end, it was clear and it was correct for the prosecutor to strike this gentleman because, obviously, he had very favorable opinions of the police, and the prosecutor is looking for someone who could be more discerning and critical of police conduct. So that's basically a Batson challenge in action. Now, today, we are going to be going through more potential jurors in order to arrive at the final juror, juror number 15. And it's a little bit of an odd situation because juror number 15, pursuant to the judge's orders, is only going to be a juror until opening statements start this Monday, March 29th. So this potential juror will only be in the wings waiting and available to fill in if someone gets sick or something happens to another juror for the next 6 days. After that, juror number 15 will be discharged and will proceed with the trial with the 14 jurors, 12 of which will be the actual jury and two alternate jurors.